Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You're going.
I'm going. Okay. This is Sunday morning, 11:29:20. We're going to start with the Prophet's Corner today, uncut. The title of this is God's Glory and Wonder. We're going to look at a few scriptures in this word. The Lord says, "My glory is about to be unleashed on this earth, and the people will wonder at the things that they are seeing." With that, I want to look to Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 2. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." That so describes the valley of the shadow of death. Psalms 23 is where we live. With Jesus also quoted that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. Look at that a minute. "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." A squinting will take place. They are so used to seeing the darkness, they will squint at first. I heard someone say yesterday, and I don't even remember who it was. Maybe it was, well, I won't even, it doesn't matter. That you can't shine the light in their eyes. It'll blind them. That's why the Lord says there'll be a squinting at first, but we'll make the adjustments. "I told you before that as sin has abounded, now will grace much more abound." You're about to literally live under an open heaven. Think about that. "Free from all the strongholds of the enemy. The prince of the power of the air will be bound, and there will literally be heaven in earth." Literally, there'll be nothing. It never was separated as far as God is concerned. He came down. He walked in the garden with Adam. It's always been, I don't know if it's Peter that said it, that we are under the commonwealth of heaven. "Before my first coming, the prophet proclaimed the great light. Even then, many, especially the Pharisees and Sadducees, did not perceive it. So don't be in despair that the church and its leaders are not rightly discerning the times, for they are so used to the crumbs that it is hard for them to receive the feast." Crumbs. They're so used to crumbs. That's why they think if somebody gets born again, and there's a message in tongues, you've had a landslide. But when Jesus came, multitudes touched by the power and the glory of God. "The things coming will be so glorious, and men will see this great light and wonder. They will wonder, how did we miss it so badly? The great darkness was the cause. Once the darkness is dispelled, the truth will shine forth like a great light. Looking through a dark glass darkly, looking through all the demonic strongholds of the enemy, it has blinded the minds of men. They will say it was right in our face all the time, but we could not see it." You can't see the forest for the truth. And I'd encourage you, I heard another prophet, I didn't listen to their word, but I just heard someone say that this certain one was trying to warn God's people, don't listen to the doomsday prophets. Don't listen to that. And I agree. "This is the time to come out of the darkness. My church is so used to the darkness, and they wince at any light you may try to shine on them." You tell them something, they're just... "Some will stay in darkness, unfortunately. Nonetheless, the light has come. Rise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." You and other like you will lead my people out just like Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. The process is going on right now, and the time of the parting of the Red Sea is here. Be confident and don't be afraid or doubt yourself, for it will open the door to the enemy. The missing mentality. We don't need to walk that way. I am in you and I'm leading you. Pray for my body to come out of the darkness and into the light. Now the Lord wanted me to read Tommy Hicks' vision. All right. Vision of the body of Christ and the end time ministries. My message begins July 25th, about 2:30 in the morning at Winnipeg, Canada. I had hardly fallen asleep when the vision and the revelation that God gave me came before me. The vision came three times exactly in detail. The morning of July 25th, 1961, I was so stirred and so moved by the revelation that this has changed my complete outlook upon the body of Christ and upon the end time ministries. One thing I like about this vision, it does not show a rapture. It doesn't show a rapture. It shows the church standing up. The greatest thing that the Church of Jesus Christ has ever been given lies straight ahead. It is so hard to help men and women to realize and understand the thing that God is trying to give to His people in the end times. I received a letter several weeks ago from one of our native evangelists down in Africa, down in Nairobi. This man and his wife were on their way to Tanganyika, whatever. They could neither read nor could they write. We had been supporting them for over 2 years, and they entered into the territory of Tanganyika. They came across a small village. The entire village was evacuating because of a plague that hit the village. He came across natives that were weeping, and he asked them what was wrong. They told him of their mother and father who had suddenly died, and they had been dead for 3 days. They had to leave. They were afraid to go in. They were leaving them in the cottage. He turned and asked them where they were. They pointed to the hut, and he asked them to go with him, but they refused. They were afraid to go. The native and his wife went to this little cottage and entered in where the man and woman had been dead for 3 days. He simply stretched forth his hand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and spoke the man's name and the woman's name and said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command life to come back to your bodies." Instantaneously, these two heathen people who had never known Jesus Christ as their Savior sat up and immediately began to praise God. The Spirit and the power of God came into the life of those people. Think about living under an open heaven where you have no strongholds, no principalities and powers resisting you. We'd always, we wish we could have been in the garden before the fall. Well, sounds like. In the book of Acts, we read that in the last days, God said, "I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." I wonder if we realize what it meant when God said, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." I do not think I fully realized, nor could I understand the fullness of it. And then I read from the book of Joel, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord, your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause you to come down for you the rain," the former rain and the latter rain. This is Joel 2:23. It is not only going to be the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, but he is going to give to his people in these last days a double portion of the power of God. As the vision appeared to me after I was asleep, I suddenly found myself in a great high distance. Where I was, I do not know, but I was looking down upon the earth. Suddenly, the whole earth came into my view. Every nation, every kindred, every tongue came before my sight from the east and the west, the north and the south. I recognized every country and many cities that I had been in, and I was almost in fear and trembling as I beheld the great sight before me. And at that moment, when the world came into view, it began to lightning and thunder. As the lightning flashed over the face of the earth, my eyes went downward and I was facing the north. Suddenly I beheld what looked like a great giant, and as I stared and looked at it, I was almost bewildered by the sight. It was so gigantic and so great. His feet seemed to reach to the North Pole and his head to the South Pole. Its arms were stretched from sea to sea. I could not even begin to understand whether this be a mountain or this be a giant. But as I watched, I suddenly beheld a great giant. I could see his head was struggling for life. He wanted to live, but his body was covered with debris from head to foot. Now, the head represents the leaders. Right there, the leaders. At times, this giant would move his body and act as though it would even raise up at times. And when it did, thousands of little creatures seemed to run away. Hideous creatures would run away from this giant, and when he could become calm, they would come back. All of a sudden, this great giant lifted his hand towards heaven, and then it lifted its other hand. And when it did, these creatures by the thousands seemed to flee away from this giant and go into the darkness of the night. This is what's happened to the church, the body of Christ. Slowly, this great giant began to rise, and as he did, his head and hands went into the clouds. As he rose to his feet, he seemed to have cleansed himself from the debris and filth that was upon him. He began to raise his hands into the heavens as though praising the Lord, and as he raised his hands, they went even into the cloud. Suddenly, every cloud became silver, the most beautiful silver I had ever known. As I watched this phenomenon, it was so great. I could not even begin to understand what it all meant. I was so stirred as I watched it, and I cried unto the Lord, and I said, "O Lord, what is the meaning of this?" And I felt as if I was actually in the Spirit, and I could feel the presence of the Lord even as I was asleep. I think I got a page out of sync here. Well, I'm going to go with, I got it out of order, but anyway, we'll just go with that. Maybe I can't, just a minute. Oh, well, let's keep going. If it sounds weird, you'll know why. As I was at this great height, I could behold the whole world. I watched these people as they were going to and fro over the face of the earth. Suddenly there was a man in Africa, and in a moment he was transported by the Spirit of God. Perhaps he was in Russia or China or America or some other place, and vice versa. All over the world these people went. And they came through fire and through pestilence and through famine. Neither fire nor persecution, nothing seemed to stop them. Sounds like roads. Where we're going, we're going to need roads, doesn't it? Translations in the Spirit. Angry mobs came to them with swords and with guns, and like Jesus, they passed through the multitudes and they could not find them. But they went forth in the name of the Lord, and everywhere they stretched forth their hands, the sick were healed, the blind's eyes were opened. There was not a long prayer, and after I had reviewed the vision many times in my mind and thought about it many times, I realized that I never saw a church. I never saw or heard a denomination. But these people were going in the name of the Lord of hosts. In other words, all this mess that ensnared and entrapped the church, it's fallen away. All of it's fallen away. That church dispensation. As they marched forth in everything they did as the ministry of Christ in the end times, these people were ministering to the multitudes over the face of the earth. Tens of thousands, even millions, seemed to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as these people stood forth and gave the message of the kingdom, of the coming kingdom. In this last hour, it was so glorious, but it seems as though they were those that rebelled, and they would become angry, and they tried to attack those workers that were giving the message. God is going to give the world a demonstration in this last hour, as the world has never known. These men and women are of all walks of life. Degrees will mean nothing. I saw these workers as they were going over the face of the earth. When one would stumble and fall, another would come and pick him up. There were no big I and little you, but every mountain was brought low and every valley was exalted. And they seemed to have one thing in common. There was a divine love. A divine love that seemed to flow forth from this people as they worked together and as they lived together. It was the most glorious sight that I had ever known. Jesus Christ was the theme of their life. They continued, and it seemed the days went by as I stood and beheld this sight. I could only cry, and sometimes I laughed. It was so wonderful as these people went throughout the face of the whole earth, bringing forth in this last end time. As I watched from heaven, the very heaven itself, there were times when great deluges of this liquid light seemed to fall upon great congregations, and that congregation would lift up their hands and seemingly praise God for hours and even days as the Spirit of God came upon them. God said, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh," and that is exactly this thing, and to every man and every woman that received this power and the anointing of God, the miracles of God, there was no ending to it. We've talked about miracles. We have talked about signs and wonders, but I could not help but weep as I read again this morning. At 4 o'clock this morning, the letter from our native workers. This is only the evidence of the beginning for one man, a do-nothing and unheard of, who could go and stretch forth his hand and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command life to flow into your body. I dropped to my knees and began to pray again, and I said, Lord, I know that this time is coming soon. And then again, as these people were going about the face of the earth, a great persecution seemed to come from every angle. Suddenly there was another great clap of thunder that seemed to resound around the world, and I heard again the voice that seemed to speak, now this is my people, this is my beloved bride. And when the voice spoke, I looked upon the earth, and I could see the lakes and the mountains. The graves were open, and people from all the world, the saints of all ages, seemed to be rising. And as they rose from the grave, suddenly all these people came from every direction, from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they seemed to be forming again this gigantic body, as the dead in Christ seemed to be rising first. I could hardly comprehend it. It was so marvelous. It was so far beyond anything I could ever dream or think of. But as this bodily sun began to form and take shape again, it took shape again in the form of this mighty giant, but this time it was different. It was arrayed in the most beautiful, gorgeous white. Its garments were without spot or wrinkle as its body began to form, and the people of all ages seemed to be gathered into this body, and slowly, slowly, as it began to form up into the very heavens, suddenly from the heavens above, the Lord Jesus came, who became the head, and I heard another clap of thunder that said, this is my beloved bride for whom I have waited. She will come forth even tried by fire. This is she that I have loved from the beginning of time. As I watched, my eyes suddenly turned to the far north, and I saw seemingly destruction, men and women in anguish and crying out, in buildings and destruction. Then I heard again the fourth voice that said, now is my wrath being poured out upon the face of the earth from the ends of the whole world. The wrath of God seemed to be poured out, and it seemed that there were great vials of God's wrath being poured out upon the face of the earth. I can remember it as though it happened a moment ago. I shook and trembled as I beheld the awful sight of seeing the cities and whole nations going down in destruction. I could hear the weeping and wailing. I could hear people crying. They seemed to cry as though they went into graves, but the graves in the mountains opened up. They leaped into water, but the water would not drown them. There was nothing that could destroy them. They were wanting to take their lives, but they could not. And from those clouds, suddenly there came great drops of liquid light raining down upon this mighty giant, and slowly, slowly, this giant began to melt. You know, the rapture, huh?
That was page two.
Well, anyway, but the point is, whether it's backwards or forwards, the point is there's not a rapture going to heaven. That giant did come. The people come out of grace, but they formed the body that melted back into the earth. Yeah. Slowly, slowly, this giant began to melt, began to sink itself into the very earth itself. And as he melted, his whole form seemed to have melted upon the face of the earth. And this great rain began to come down. Liquid drops of light began to flood the very earth itself. And as I watched this giant that seemed to melt, suddenly it became millions of people over the face of the earth as I beheld the sight before me. People stood up all over the world. They were lifting their hands and they were praising the Lord. And that's what's happening right now. It's just a great awakening. That very moment there came a great thunder that seemed to roar from the heavens. I turned my eyes toward the heavens and suddenly I saw a figure in white and glistening white, the most glorious thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. I did not see the face, but somehow knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he stretched forth his hand, and as he did, he would stretch it forth to one and to another and to another. And as he stretched forth his hand upon the nations and the people of the world, men and women, as he pointed toward them, this liquid light seemed to flow from his hands into them, and a mighty anointing of God came upon them, and these people began to go forth in the name of the Lord. I do not know how long I watched it. It seemed it went into days and weeks and months, and I beheld this Christ as he continued to stretch forth his hand, but there was a tragedy. There were many people as he stretched forth his hand that refused the anointing of God and the call of God. I saw men and women that I knew. I was thinking this morning, sometimes when I pray on Sundays, sometimes I don't get anything, and sometimes I get stuff. It's coming from every direction, thinking of things I hadn't thought about in a long time, and a lot of them were people that we had in our first fellowship that could not receive kingdom teaching because of their indoctrination. And some are dead. Some have died. Not that because they left here, but I think the Lord had something for them to see that would help them live a better life. Okay. They refused the anointing of God and the call of God. I saw men and women that I knew, people that I felt would certainly receive the call of God. But as he stretched forth his hand toward this one and toward that one, they simply bowed their head and began to back away. And each of those that seemed to bow down and back away seemed to go into darkness. Blackness seemed to swallow them everywhere. I'm seeing it, and it's making me sad. I have. I've been very grieved about it, thinking people that you thought surely would get a hold of the truth are backing away, saying, no, the old's better. Old's better. I was bewildered as I watched it, but these people that he had anointed, hundreds of thousands of people all over the world, in Africa, England, Russia, China, America, all over the world, the anointing of God was upon these people as they went forward in the name of the Lord. I saw these men and women as they went forth. They were ditch diggers. They were, tell you how old this is, ditch diggers, washerwomen. They were rich men. They were poor men. I saw people who were bound with paralysis and sickness and blindness and deafness. As the Lord stretched forth to give them this anointing, they became well. They became healed, and they went forth. And this is the miracle of it. This is the glorious miracle of it. Those people who would stretch forth their hands exactly as the Lord did, and it seemed as if there was the same liquid fire in their hands. As they stretched forth their hands, they said, according to my word, be thou made whole. I know that one time I prayed for that guy. And I stretched forth my hand, and that mighty wind passed next to me, nearly knocked me down, and nearly knocked him down. And I realized that day, Lord, you just ask us to step in faith, lay hands on the sick. You're doing it. Let us never, ever think that we have any power and we're ever doing it, because we're not. He's doing it. He's just asking you in obedience to be the vessel, the physical vessel to make the contact with that body, so he can minister through you out to that person. As the people continued in this mighty end time ministry, I did not fully realize what it was. And I looked to the Lord and said, what is this meaning of this? And he said, this is that which I will do in the last days. I will restore all that the canker worm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar. I will restore all then again. And I turned my eyes to this glorious sight, this body arrayed in beautiful white, shining garments. Slowly, slowly it began to lift from the earth. As it did, I awoke. What a sight I had beheld. I had seen the end day time ministries, the last hour, again on July 27th at 2:30 in the morning. The same revelation, the same vision came again exactly as it did before. My life has been changed as I realize that we are living in that end time. For all over the world, God is anointing men and women with this ministry. It will not be doctrine. It will not be a church entity. Is going to be Jesus Christ. They will give forth the word of the Lord and are going to say, I heard it so many times in the vision, according to my word, it shall be done. All right. You and other like you will lead my people out, just like Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. The process is going on right now, and the time of the parting of the Red Sea is here. Be confident and don't be afraid or doubt yourself, or it will open the door to the enemy. I am in you and I am leading you. Pray for my body to come out of the darkness into the light. Revelation 11:11. I believe this is what he saw. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. People are standing up all across the world. I have raised you up as a prophet for this now dispensation, a new wine prophet. The old wine prophets will not perceive the new wine. New leaders are coming forth. It is the changing of the guards. And we've heard that concerning taking out the deep state and everything else. Q talks about the systematic destruction of the old guard, talking about the ones that have ruled and reigned on this planet will no longer do so. New leaders are coming forth. It is a changing of the guards. That which is old will not move on to the new era. I've already spoken to you about this. Those who will get on board with it will assist the new guard in this transition period. The rest will die off. Excuse me. The time clock has run out. The earth lease expired. Just watch and see what I will do. And he gave me the scripture, Revelation 10. Well, it's a chapter. And And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. His face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. He set his right foot upon the sea, left foot on the earth. And I've talked to you before about what I believe this is. I see the transfer from Admiralty Maritime Law to constitutional law. And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which therein are, that there should be time no longer. All right. That's where I'm going to stop with that. Time no longer. All right. Which I do believe that means this is the end of the church age. There's no more time. And I believe probably this is what Brother Copeland was talking about all those years ago when he talked about a sliver of time between the end of this dispensation and the beginning of the new dispensation, where God no longer is under the earthly, so now he can unleash his wrath, the vials, to do judgment. I think that's where we are. So this week, I don't know who said it, but a couple of other people I heard talk about the horse and the rider thrown into the sea, that were standing at the Red Sea. In fact, one of them, I think, was Mario Murillo. He was talking about, we're in the time, the church is in the time of the standing before the Red Sea. I thought, yeah, that's what the Lord said last week. We're standing in that time. Well, the Lord's about to open up the sea, and we're going to begin to see some marvelous things begin to happen like we've never seen. And I believe that's what Tommy Hicks saw. Whether you understood or not, usually you don't. Usually the prophet doesn't understand. I don't think John understood. I don't think Daniel understood. But it didn't matter.